Matthew chapter number 16. We're going to read starting in verse number 13 tonight. Matthew chapter 16 and in verse number 13. And our theme for 2019 for this year is going to be God's blueprint for His church. All right, God's blueprint for His church. Nice. All right, good touch. God's blueprint for His church, and what is it all about? I'll explain a little bit more at the close of the service. But again, I'm excited about focusing on going back to what the Bible says about how God designed the church. On Thursday nights, we're going to focus a lot. Again, we want to be Spirit-led. And any time the Spirit leads in a certain area, we'll follow that by God's grace. We're going to focus primarily on Thursday nights on doctrine and going back and going over doctrine, our Baptist doctrine, and hitting what we believe and why we believe it. And on Sunday nights, we're going to focus a lot on church polity. Now, that's a fancy word for how church runs, all right, according to the Bible, the government of the church, offices, why we do what we do, in the operation of the church. You say, why do we need to do this? All right, we're okay. We are. Praise the Lord for it. But we live in a world today that the typical church has strayed a long way from God's blueprint of the church, drifted away from what God designed for the church to be. We're full of man's traditions, a lot of, you know, just the way we've always done it. And we want to just take a breath and kind of dust off the blueprint and make sure we're doing it. There's nothing wrong with, doing some things in addition to, as long as we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. Because you understand this, that we are not the architect. We did not design the church. Nor should we. But I'll add this too. We're not the builders either. Right? Don't if that has surprised you, right? We'll read it here in just a second. We're not the architect and we're not the builders. The Lord is. The Lord does all of that. In 2000, here in this age that we live in, 2018, going into 19, man has come up with many additions to God's blueprint, which I think has distracted many from what it's supposed to be. I'll give you a for example. When I was graduated, as soon as I graduated, my grandpa, he built houses. He was a construction, John Burke Construction. He built houses, remodeled houses. That's what he did. That's how he made his living all of his life. And he did that. And his chief rival, which has nothing to do with the message, but I just think it's hilarious. His chief rival, which was also his good buddy, they were good friends, but he owned a construction business, and his name was James Crummy. That's right. So you could pick John Burke Construction or Crummy Builders. Yeah. How could you pick Crummy Builders, right? But that was the name of his business. But after my senior year, my grandpa hired me to work with him. Now, if you don't know much about me, you will find this out. I'm not good at handyman things, all right? I'm the guy putting together anything. I've got the big instruction booklet, and I'm step by step, and I still seem to put something on backwards. It's the way I am, just the way I've always been and raised. I do my best, and I've gotten a lot better than I used to. You should have seen the shelves when we first got married. You had to have things on there to keep stuff from rolling off. I've gotten better, and there's a reason why things never changed in our house for 30 years, 20 years, because the holes I left in the walls from trying to hang stuff, it had to stay where it was. But I'm getting better at those things. But it would be like me that, 18 years old, hired by my grandpa. You understand this, that I was not the architect of what we were doing, nor was I the builder, all right? My job was to do what my grandpa said, and to stay out of his way, and to, be a help. I carried the tools to him. And you don't know how frustrated. That man was a man of patience. Because that first year, he'd say, bring me some tool. I had no idea what that tool was. And he sent me back. He said, it's in. He said, he would say, Hoss, it's in the truck. He had one of them big trucks with the two giant toolboxes all down the whole bed. And I'd open them things up. I had no idea. There was 1,000 tools in there. And I would take him 6 of them. He'd be like, none of those. Boy, didn't your dad teach you nothing? No. He didn't, all right? And I would look at him, which ultimately is your fault. That's what I would tell him, right? But here's the job he eventually gave me, all right? He moved me from where he was building a house over to a remodel, and I spent 2 months scraping paint off of a house. That was the worst thing I've ever had to do in my life. I just had bloody knuckles and hands for 2 months. No matter what I did, I, to this day, something needs sanded, I'll pay someone to do it, all right? I did not enjoy that, but I did it. I said I would, so I did it. That would be like me going to my grandpa at, 18 and saying, I know how the house is designed. I know how everything's supposed to work, but I think we should put something over here. He would have looked at me and said, shut up, boy. That's what he told me, all right? You have to know my grandpa. That's what he would have said, in love. No, because I had no idea what I'm doing. And the fact is this, when we as believers think we have a way to improve God's church, no, we don't. If we think we could make it better than how he designed it, no, we can't. And it's good for us every once in a while to stop and to look again at how God designed for the church to be. And we're going to do our best to cover and take a big step backwards and look at everything, all right? You say, why? Well, a couple reasons. One, we all need to be reminded because it's easy to get off track. Easy to get off track. I can get off track. You can get off track. And it's good to take a step back and make sure that we are still lined up to where we should be. It's a good thing. Secondly, we have a lot of young people in our church that are going to be the future leaders of this church. And they need to know this is why we do what we do and why we believe what we believe. Because I will not be here forever. Brother Doug will not be here forever. Brother Haddix, Brother Schwartz, and all these men that are sitting in these pews, all of us that are salt and peppering, and all of us that are getting older, all right, we are not going to be here forever, but these other guys, Lord willing, will be here. And I don't want them to know just how we did church. I want them to know why we do what we do. The difference between a church that is continuing to stand strong to this day, having done so for years, and those who are straying away, and they are happening everywhere. Bible churches are putting away their King James Bible. They're doing away with doctrine. They're taking Baptist off the door. They're allowing rock music into the church. Why do these things happen? All right? It happened because a generation was not trained. This is truth. So then they accept something that's come in. A third reason why we teach this year is because we are blessed, and praise the Lord for it, with a lot of new members. I mean, we've been really blessed. And I know a lot of them are out of town right now, but, they're normally here, right? And we have a lot of new members. And it's good to take a step back and to look again so that we're all on the same page. And you say, whose page? Your page? Nope. I just told my discipleship class, it does not matter what Travis Burke believes. It does not matter what Kazata Baptist Temple, as long as it's in this book. This is what we follow. And anytime I or the church strays away from this book, I or the church would be wrong. This book is right. So we have to understand why we're doing everything we're doing, from the offering, because I want these young people growing up to understand it's right to tithe, that they need to learn the joy of tithing, and that when you don't tithe, you're robbing God. And I want them to understand why, that it's not just something we do. It's because God told us to. I want to understand why we're so strong on doctrine and why we continue and we don't bow the knee on that. Because it's God's word. So we're going to take a step back. We're going to look at these things. We're going to study these things. We're going to cover doctrine, Lord willing, and, eternal security. We believe in eternal security. Amen? Now, if we sitting in these pews after 5-6 years cannot take our Bibles and tell other people why we do, our church is in danger. That's the truth. Because you're one wrong leader away from being corrupt. Because if people don't understand why, You get a smooth talker up here, they'll lead the church down the wrong direction. You're all staring at me. This is happening everywhere around us. Everywhere. So we have to understand and know the Word of God. We have to take the time to learn what the Bible says. So I want to look at this passage tonight just to, as a springboard to get us going this year. And then again, may some things may seem a little bit odd, but stay with me, all right? Matthew chapter 16. If you're able to stand in respect to the Word of God, and again, if you cannot stand, God understands that. I promise you that, all right? Why do we stand? Because I think it's a good way of just teaching reverence for this book. I want you know, everyone that comes into our church to understand this deserves respect. This deserves honor. This, all right? Not so much this or that, but this does. And so we want to reverence this and take a moment to out of the ordinary to say, look at this. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 13, when Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I pray that, Lord, you just be with this sermon this evening. I know what you've given me. I pray you'd help me. God, enable me, please, to share what you've given. And God, I pray we would watch and listen with an open heart, and the Holy Spirit would have free course tonight. I pray, God, Lord, you just do what only you can do. Bless your word. I know you will. But, Lord, help us to be listening people. And God, I love you. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. So in this passage of Scripture, again, stay with me, all right? The Lord asks the question in verse number 13. The Lord says to his disciples, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So he asks this question, and he gets what I would refer to tonight as a Google answer, all right? Now, if you don't understand that, we'll explain it later, right? But a Google answer, right? You know, they got these, you know, and I enjoy them. Your phone may do it. Mine does. All right. I'll ask my phone a question, and it will give me, you know, an answer. You know, I may say, you know, for instance, you can say tonight, you know, what are some good restaurants around me, right? And it will list like 15 restaurants around you. Anyone ever do that before? Because you're, all right, you're good. You're all staring at me. Weird, right? Yeah, okay. All right, see, you know, and it will list that. And that's kind of what they did. The Lord asked, he said, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Well, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremiah, so one of the prophets." So they give this, what I call the Google answer. They just list some things. These are some facts. But then the Lord makes it very personal. The Lord says to them, "But whom say ye that I am?" You see, there's a big difference between me saying, you know, "Hey, Google, what are some good restaurants around me? Here are restaurants I found around you." And me going to Brother Wilson and saying, "Brother Larry, what's a good restaurant to go eat at tonight?" He would probably look at me and say, "Frisch's," right? Amen, right? Frisch's, right? Go to Big Boy, right? And he, you know, or what's some good donuts around here, right? Ah, yeah, right? He may list 10 things, but I think most of us, we're going to look at it and say, Holtman's, right? Or something else. I've heard that Pop's donuts are good. I've not had them, but I'm interested. But I can't eat them. All right, that's bad. But when you make it personal, then you get a more exact answer. So he asked, he said, "Well, whom do ye say that I am?" Look down there in verse number 16. And so Peter answers him. And Peter says this. He says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." So the Lord said, "I don't want this generic answer. Who do you say that I am?" And Peter says, well, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the Lord responds to this in verse 17 and says, he answers, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Jesus looks at Peter and says, this is not just what everybody's saying here. This is special. This answer that you just gave me came, and we read it right here in the scriptures, the Father in heaven revealed this to you, Peter. Everybody with me? The Lord has revealed this to you, Peter. So, the Lord responds to Peter and saying, you know, this is wonderful. This is not just an answer of what everyone is saying. This shows a history of the Father talking to you. The Lord has shown you this. The Lord is giving you something and that has revealed this to you, and it's the truth. And then he looks at Peter and says, now upon this rock, I will build my church. Now we're going to look at the church this year. We're going to study it, and we're going to preach on whatever God tells us to, but we're going to make sure, and because I believe it's what the Lord led us to look at doctrine, look at polity, look at how we do things and why everything is important and what we're doing. But I think it's important tonight to stop and to see what the Lord said here. He said, this is a wonderful thing that you said, and upon this rock I will build my church. Well, upon what? Now, he is not building the church on Peter. The Catholics may like to say that, but that is not what he is saying here. Matter of fact, there is absolutely zero proof that Peter ever even went to Rome. Sorry, Catholics. And I know that the Lord did not build the church upon Peter. The Lord built the church upon himself. When he says, upon this rock, I will build my church. Well, upon what? Well, obviously, our first answer, because I think we've been taught, and it's true. The fact is that it's being built upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the chief cornerstone. Amen. He is that cornerstone. But I think, and I present to you tonight, that there's a little bit more to that than just the fact that he is the chief cornerstone. Not taking away from that, that is it. But I think there's something very important that we need to catch as we start this year. It says again, and I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Yes, it is the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, that is who the church is built upon. But I think the more than I just ask you to think with me this evening, let's go back and think about the conversation and think logically here. Whom do men say that I am? Well, John the Baptist, Elias, some of the prophets. Who do you say that I am? Well, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Blessed art thou, Peter, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Well, what? That Jesus is the Son of God. That Jesus is the Christ. And this relationship that Peter had with the Father. Let me explain that. We can have all the doctrine right and line up everything according to this book, but if we as a people have no relationship with God, no good. In vain. We can have every standard, and we can teach great polity and how the church should run. We can attend church every week and be so faithful, but if we do not have a relationship with the Father, if there is not a line of communication there, if there's not us hearing from the Father and the Father hearing us, and there is not this going on, it does not matter what we have in line, it will all be in vain. The church is built upon the Lord Jesus Christ. But Jesus looked at Peter and he said, upon this rock I will build my church. Upon Jesus, that he is the cornerstone. But also that you are able and have this relationship with the Father. And the Father is revealing this to you. I want us to learn our doctrine, not like some school book. I don't want us to understand what Cazado Baptist believes. We as individuals need to get in this book, know what the Word of God says, and hear from the Father. Have a walk with God. Have a devotional life. You know what it does? When you are serving God because you have a relationship with God, when someone offends you in the church, you won't quit. Because you're not serving people. Amen. You're awful quiet on me. Amen. I said on Thursday night when I just preached on ruptured relationships that there are times that, you know, when what someone does makes us quit, we prioritize that human relationship far greater than it should have been. There should be no sort of relationship on this earth that makes you quit on God. So we need this relationship with the Father. We need to learn our doctrine. Amen. But I want you to learn doctrine. I guess I'm imploring you tonight as members of this church. I'm begging our teenagers to learn what a walk with God is this year. I'm asking those kids that are in my Sunday school class to learn the joy of getting up in the morning, reading your Bible, talking to God, and knowing that you have a relationship with God. I'm asking the members of this church, every adult and mom and dad that's trying to raise their kids, and every grandma and grandpa that has been on this second season of life, I'm asking you to learn the joy of having a walk with God. Because the Lord's church will be built upon us having a walk with the Lord, building it upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Because you don't have, if we can have all the, I hope you're catching, I know it's difficult. I had a difficult time, tried to explain it to my wife the other night. Just the Lord really burdened this with me this week. Doctrine, I'm just being real honest, right? It's vision night. Doctrine, because I had a Baptist temple, check. I mean, obviously I'm the pastor. If I didn't think we were check, I'd be preaching on it hard, right? I believe that we're teaching the right doctrine. Check. You know, separation, I believe we're trying to hold the banner high. Not that we don't have times and areas to grow in. We all do until we go to heaven. But I believe we're trying. Check. Church polity, how we do things, I think we're on the right track. I don't think that we've strayed. If we have, then let's correct it. And I hope the Lord shows us as we study this. But I believe we're on the right track. Check. But I'm asking you tonight, with our doctrine in order and our separation and our polity, and you're here tonight. And a lot of those who couldn't make it tonight, they're watching right now because they wanted to see what all's going on this year. Praise the Lord. But unless we have a relationship with God, I'm not at all, you know, if you're not saved, obviously that's where it starts, right? And I hope you get saved tonight. But I am taking as your testimony and your fruit and by being your pastor, most everyone in this room professes the Lord Jesus Christ and you're saved. Amen. Thank God for that. Do you have a walk with God? Do you have a walk with God? It's been a, you know, just, you know, sometimes I stop and I look around me at all the young people in our church. And by young people, I mean the young adults and those who are starting families, right? Just found out this morning, James and Abigail are expecting a child. Praise the Lord. You know, my first thought is, I remember when she was just a tiny little girl. And we went out to Arizona. And now she's married. Now she's going to have a child. I taught Ricky Salee in elementary PE class. Now he's the youth leader with all these children. You know what that means, right? That they're getting older. Yeah. Right? Right. It's been a joy and privilege to watch, you know, our Sam and Daniel grow up, Reba's out of town. She put some pictures on social media. Coy, it's his birthday. I flipped through those pictures. He was a scrawny little thing. He's a fine young man now. Son's going back to college. Jenna's going to college. Lily, growing up. Praise the Lord. Remember Ezra climbing on the back of a Toyota? And now he's sitting there with his wife, serving the Lord, proud of him. And I want for all of these to enjoy the same church that I enjoy today. I want you to be singing the same songs that we're singing, holding to the same doctrine that we're preaching, living by the same standards that we're standing on. Now, we may have every duck in a row and check everything off. But if I, right now, as a dad, these other dads in this room right now, if these young people don't learn what it is to have a personal relationship with the Lord, it won't last. It won't last. It will not last. I mean, I'm looking straight at Daniel right now. I love him. The kid will do anything you ask him to do. It's a servant's heart. Sam's one of the finest young men. Love Corby sitting there. Praise the Lord for Jeff. Jeff's just awesome. Praise the Lord for him. Coy. And Alex. Willis sitting back there. Elena. Zach. So proud of Zach. Lisi getting saved, growing in the Lord. Jocelyn sitting back there. Praise the Lord for Izzy. What God has done. Awesome. Love these York young ladies. Sweetest girls you ever meet. The Chad and Miss Stephanie's children, thank God for them. Asa walked up to me in the bus today. He said, "Pastor, I want to be a helper today." All right, man. He passed out the snack. He held the signs and was the loudest singer. It's awesome. And Titus said he wanted to do it on the way home. They didn't get the ride back, so you owe me, Titus, right? I see Hope and Grace sitting here. You've heard Brother Doug testify a few times, and I'll just use him, that he's thankful that he can raise his family in the same church that he was raised in. Or Brother Doug? And I want that for them too. But it isn't going to happen just because the pastor's still preaching the right doctrine. Now that's good. And that's right. But if all these young people I just talked about and their parents and their grandparents don't have a walk with the Lord, you can only coast for so long. It's fun to coast. I went down the hill in Milford today. Tater was sitting behind me. He said, "Don't hit the brakes." We were going down the hill, so I didn't hit the brakes for a while. He's like, "Yeah." Then I hit the brakes. He's like, "Oh, you're a loser." Yeah, I know. Also, want you to get home safely, right? It's fun to coast for a while. But if there's something not driving this, if there's not power behind it, if there's no power, it will stop. And I think sometimes that's the missing ingredient. And I think that's what the Lord was also referring to. Upon this rock, that I am the Son of God, I am the Christ, and that the Father revealed this to you. We have Bible class at school, and I'm glad for what we teach our kids. Glad for it. They're being taught right. But if they're just learning things from Brother Peterson or Brother Salih or myself, to write it down on a test and it's not real in their life, it won't last. It won't last. You may get up and tell me, yes, we believe in eternal security, salvation only through Jesus Christ, baptism of the believer, deep water immersion. But if you've just learned it from sitting in a pew and picking up what someone preaches on all the time, we're in trouble. If it doesn't start here. Anybody can give back Google answers. I even have one of those Alexa things in my office. The other day we asked it, who is Jesus? And it gave the right answer. Which they changed, because before it used not to. But it changed it. It told who Jesus was. And everything that that little computer said was true. But in case you don't know, my Alexa is not saved. But it knows some right facts. But you unplug it. There's nothing there. I want the Lord to build this church. It's got to be done His way. Look at this real quick with me tonight. That's the main sermon. I'll give you a couple points. Number one, I believe it's important that we understand our place. That we understand our place. Back in verse number 18, I say it also unto thee that thou art Peter. I think it's important that we understand who we are. The Lord started with that statement. The Lord's going to build His church. But He said the first thing we need to understand, that thou art Peter. Peter's going to learn a lot of lessons about himself, especially in the next few pages of this Bible, that he's not perfect. Sometimes he fails. That he is flesh. That even as a believer, I can do some pretty rotten things. Thou art Peter. If the Lord's going to build a church here, I need to be reminded today that I am Travis. You're Shane. You're Steve. You're Wayne. You're Randy. You're Rob. You're Alex. You're Coy. You're Chad. What are we? What are we tonight? The Lord didn't build the church on Peter. Amen? The Lord's not going to build the church on me or on you. Amen. That's a bad foundation. But it's good to be reminded who we are. Number one, we are nothing more than a sinner saved by grace. We need a Savior. We cannot do it without Him. We are dust. I want the Lord to build a church here. Amen. But I need to understand who I am. I say all the time, half jokingly, but it's truth. How's things going at church? People ask. I'm just trying to stay out of God's way. And that's the truth. Because if I take the reins, things are going to mess up pretty quick. Not that I'm not the leader. I understand that. I'm the under-shepherd. I get that. I'm not shirking that responsibility. But Travis Burke always has to be reminded, and so do you. This is not my church. This is God's church. He is the head. He is the authority. He is doing the work. We are nothing more than a sinner saved by grace. Secondly, remind us ourselves who we are. We are separate. We are, should be a separated servant of God. A separated servant of God. I mentioned earlier that He is the build. He is the architect and He is the builder. Say, what am I? Turn over. Keep something right there in Matthew, but turn over real quick in Ephesians, real quick. Ephesians chapter number 3. Look at a few verses real quick with me. Ephesians chapter number 3. Ephesians 3 and in verse number 21. Ephesians 3 verse 21. You see it when you walk in this church. Unto Him be glory. Where at? In the church. By Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Why is that so important? Because the church is to give God the glory. The church is to bring glory to the Lord. And praise the Lord, His churches are going to continue throughout all ages. Amen. I don't care what some theologian may say or other institution may tell you. There hasn't been, you know, a true church or a Baptist church, whatever term they want to use. God's word says otherwise throughout all ages. Amen. Well, you didn't amen that strong, but that's what the Bible says. Amen. Going on in Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse number 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. I am not the builder. God is doing the work on me. God is doing the work. When he says he's building the church, yes, that is adding people, but I think that sometimes we make that the spotlight. The church is made up not of these walls, but of believers. And he's building the church. You know why you know what God's doing in his church? He should be making us stronger. He should be making us know more of the knowledge of Christ, more of the grace of the Lord, more perfect, more complete as a believer. That's what the building of the church is. Yes, adding people. Yes, amen, he'll do that. That's what we are doing. But the fact is this, God should be doing a work in your life. When I say he's building the church, that's you and I should be growing in the Lord. That's what it says. We've been given pastors, deacons, first apostles for the perfecting of the saints, so that we're no longer like children tossed to and fro, but that we learn how to stand. Learn what doctrine is. Learn what it is. Well, where do we get this? We are rooted and grounded upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the head until we're fitly together as a body. We're edifying one another and we're doing the work of God. Remind ourselves, we're just a sinner saved by grace. We should be a separated servant of God. Turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 and see this one more time. And it says it just very clearly, and you know, whatever, if you're having a hard time catching it, you'll see it right here. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. I say again, I'm not the architect, and neither are you. I'm not the builder, neither are you. But I'll tell you exactly what we are. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and in verse number 9, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's what? You're the building. You are the building. A lot of times you think, well, it's not my job to add people to the church. That's God's job. Actually, it is our job to take the gospel to the world. Well, God does the building. You're right. You are the building. I'm the building. So I don't know if I believe that. Well, then you don't believe the Bible. I mean, I'm not doing Greek or nothing here, right? Ye are God's building. That's pretty plain. According to the grace of God, which is given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. We, and I'll get to this, we are this building. God is building us. He is perfecting us. You say, what is my job? Again, thou art Peter. I think it's good to remind ourselves we're nothing but a sinner saved by grace, and then remind ourselves that he should be doing a work. As me and my sister Crystal used to sing when we were little bitty kids, he's still working on me. And it should be all of our song. That God is perfecting us. He should be using us. He is molding us. He is empowering us. He is transforming us. He is doing a work in our life. What is our job? To yield. To let him. And all of us should be surrendered to the Spirit of God. Thou art Peter. I hope every one of you joined me tonight in saying, I want to see God build this church. Well, first thing we need to say is that thou art, and fill in your name. Thou art Sheila. Thou art Wade. Thou art Connie. Thou art Ken. Thou art Shauna. Let's remind ourselves who we are and just how much we need Him. Because when I remind myself every day how much I need Him, it's not hard to open up that Bible and spend time in prayer. I need Him. This morning, God woke me up at 4 o'clock. I don't know why. I wanted to sleep. And I got out my Bible and I started reading. And I read, and I told you this morning what I read and how God spoke to me. It's still on my heart for whatever reason, so I ought to share it again. Moses was rehearsing everything that's been taking place. He said, and at Sinai, when he came down, there's the golden calf. God said, I'm going to start over. And Moses said, and I went, and I fell on my face for 40 days and 40 nights. Boy, it just smote me how inconsistent we are with our praying for people. Moses stopped everything, and for 40 days and 40 nights, he prayed. And God had mercy. After I got done reading my Bible this morning, I stopped, I prayed. Started going through my prayer list and asking God to work today. Prayed for you. And I always try to pray, God, may I be surrendered to your Spirit today. I want to be in His control. There's times I fail. Too many times. But I want to be under His control. Because when God's in control, He will build His church. I think we need to remind ourselves that we need to understand our place. Number two, understand His preeminence. Back in our text, He says that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. What? That Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Son of God. From other texts, He is our mediator. He is my God. As I mentioned earlier when we started out the service and praying, and I'm in it, some are traveling, pray for their safety. Some are sick, pray for their healing. Some chose not to come. Pray for them. Because quite frankly, they put something in front of God tonight. They just put something in front of God. Sickness happens. Travel. Those things happen. But be careful. Understand. You say, how can I keep from that? Turn over to Colossians real quick. I'm almost done. Colossians chapter number 1. Love this passage of Scripture. Colossians chapter number 1. Understand His preeminence. I'll just say my points and then I'll read the passage. We, child of God, we need to remind ourselves every day of the great debt that we owe to the Lord Jesus Christ. He saved us. And not just saved us, but He has delivered us from the power of darkness. Now that's a wonderful thing. In other words, the devil's not in charge anymore. Before we got saved, the devil was in charge. We were of our father, the devil, Jesus said. We were held captive at his will. But my friends, now that you're saved, you have been delivered from that power. Look at this real quick, of the debt that we owe and then of the dominion that he should have. Read with me in Colossians 1 and verse number 13. It says this, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. Aren't you thankful for that? I want you thinking with me tonight. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. When you got saved, you were delivered from the power of darkness. And not only that, but he translated you into the kingdom of his dear Son. I went from being under this cloud of darkness, under the power of the devil, my flesh, the sin in the world, and God, when I got saved, He removed me from that. But He didn't just leave me out there in limbo. He put me over right here in the kingdom of His dear Son. He is my King. I am God's child now, in whom we have redemption. Aren't you glad for redemption? In whom we have redemption through His blood. Even the forgiveness of sins. My sins have been forgiven. The blood of Jesus Christ has purchased my redemption. Oh, the debt that I owe. Christian, oh, the debt that you owe too. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. It's good for us to understand just who we are. Understand our place, that we are a sinner saved by the grace of God. We're a separated servant unto a holy God, daily surrendering ourselves to the Lord. And that will come as we understand His preeminence, that I owe Him a great debt. I am no longer a slave to sin. I have been set free from the bondage of the devil. Death and hell cannot have me. I have been set free. I am an inheritor of the Lord. I get to go to heaven someday, and all that is heaven is mine to join in. Praise the Lord. I have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I have been set free, and I ought to recognize that He is my head. He is the head of the body. He is the head of the church, and in everything He should have the preeminence. He loves us. Amen. Do we love Him? The things that God loves, you know what that means? We ought to love what He loves. And the things that He hates, we ought to hate. The things that He wants us to do, we should want to do. It's His church. We understand His preeminence, and then we understand the power. The power back in our text, very simple, and we're done. Verse number 18, this power is continual. It says, I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What the Lord started there, and the Lord started, and we'll study this year, the Lord started the church with Himself and those disciples. They were a called out assembly of baptized believers. He started the church with those 12. And what He started there with those 12 has continued to go on year after year after year after year after year. And it's still going on today. Say, do you really believe that? Yes. Why would you believe that? Because God said so. Unto Him be glory in the church, world without end, throughout all ages. Amen. The Lord said, when you observe this supper, when He gave the Lord's Supper to the local church, He said, you observe it till He come. That means the church would be observing the Lord's Supper until the Lord returns. Has He returned yet? No. So guess what? We're still observing it, and have been, and continue to do so. You say, well, you can't trace your way all the way back. I cannot. But I like what one preacher said. If you can take a chain and shake it on one end and it rattles on the other, you got the same chain. Amen? Amen. And what we're believing and what we're standing for and the doctrine we have is the same doctrine I believe that the Word of God teaches in this early New Testament. And thank God we're still on the right path. Amen. It's going to continue. The gates of hell cannot prevail against it. And I know I've made this point 100 times, but I'll make it one more time tonight. We always get the idea when we read this verse, and it's so quoted out of context, that we're the church surviving and the gates of hell are storming us and we're gonna make it. That's not what gates are for. I've never seen a gate attack anybody. Amen? Gates are always used to defend. In other words, church, we're not on the defense, we're on the offense. We got the ball and we're moving down the field. And there's no stopping it as long as you keep doing it God's way. Amen? There's no power on this earth that can stop the Lord doing His work with His church. Amen? It's continual. It's controlling. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I'm thankful that what God does through His church is of great authority and of great power. But I say this in closing. The power of the church is continual and it is controlling. But here's the part that ought to make us all stand in awe. It has been commissioned. It's been commissioned. Thessalonians says that we have been put in trust with the gospel. Verse 19 says, "And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven." What's that referring to? The gospel. It's the church's responsibility to take the gospel into a lost world. Who's the church? Because that old Baptist temple? Well, for here, yeah, but I'll be more specific. It's you and me. It's not just the pastor's job to take the gospel into the world. We're not doing it as a church and obeying God when Brother Slee goes visiting. And visitation times are great and wonderful. I hope you can join us every time we do it. But that's not the focus. The focus is everywhere we go, everybody we talk to, every one of us as members of this church, we represent the Lord Jesus Christ. Be it at your workplace, be it at the grocery store, be it on your computer screen, you represent the Lord. And may everywhere we go, we be an instrument of God to take this gospel to a lost world. Because we have His gospel and we have His authority. Remember when He sent in the Great Commission, the Lord started out by saying, "All power is given unto me." This authority has been given to us, and you see it in this verse 2, and we're all done, I promise. "And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." In other words, church, heaven pays attention to what we do. When us as a church bind something, and again, I hope you'll catch this year, when we have a meeting and we vote on something, yeah, all in favor? Whatever. All against? Not raising my hand. Or one of these? I ain't voting. I've seen too many churches have problems. I'm not getting involved. Can I tell you something? Grow up as a Christian. What we're doing, God gave us the authority to do. And we ought to take this with respect. We ought to treat these things with honor. So, well, people might vote against me. We follow the will of the church. The church is the authority. Yes. And we follow that. See, what if you think the church is going the wrong direction? Then I'll preach on it and preach on it and preach on it till either we all find God's will or you throw me out of this place, right? But we'll just keep on going together. Following, trying our best to follow the Lord, but understand, be given authority. Too many people treat church like just a social event. This is something special, something honorable. Every one of our grandmas and grandpas, thank you. Thank you. For every time you knelt down and prayed, every nail that you drove in these boards, every dime you put in an offering plate, thank you. Those who are bearing the bulk of the work right now on your backs and shoulders, thank you. It's worth it. Keep being faithful. And to my son and to my daughters, and to every young person sitting in this auditorium, it's your turn soon. So grow up. Take it serious. Have a great time. Love life. Have joy. But this is not a joke. This is not fun and games. This is God's work. Get involved. Love it. Be a leader. But you better have a walk with God. You need a walk with God. Blessed art thou, Peter. Flesh and blood did not reveal this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. God's plan hasn't changed today either. Same plan. It's not Peter, though. It's Travis and Ezra. And I'm not being disrespectful. It's Larry, Shane, and Mike. It's our turn. Let's remind ourselves who we are, but who he is, and the power he's given. God's work will go on.